Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. What a beautiful, beautiful day it is here on the East Coast. And we had a little bit of a technical glitch there starting the show off, so sorry about that. But hopefully nobody could tell. It looks like we were a little bit delayed. But Lauren, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
There we go. Yay. Okay, good. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm on.
I was worried, and my heart was going, oh, no, no, no. I think my computer froze.
I called in a couple times.
I'm so sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because my computer froze up on the same screen, and I refreshed, and I'm like, oh, there's the show. So, the things we go through when we're hosting shows, you know, glitches. And here's the word, the stress of it all.
Exactly.
So you're here today. Let me introduce you properly because wow, I am so thankful to Pina for bringing Pina DeRosa to bringing you to the Best Ever You Network because she's just
Thank
so
you.
Cool. And I just wanted to start the show off with a nod in her direction because you know today is like International Women's Amazing People Day, and
she's an amazing woman.
Yes, you should be like the poster person for it. So thank you, Pina, for everything that you do and everything that she did with the Motivation Marathon, too. And okay, so we've got Lauren Miller with us today, folks. And Lauren is, I love this, Google's number one stress relief expert. But, you know, it goes beyond Google. You've been in Redbook, Ladies Home Journal, Family Circle, CNBC, and this. MSNBC, Lifetime, Discovery, and the International Journal of Healing and Care, and you have 10 years of just tons of experience and 18 years overall experience in the areas of anxiety relief, stress reduction, and really working with men and women worldwide to empower them with the techniques and skills that they need, that we all need, to live our life as stress-free as possible. And you do this through one-on-one coaching, teleseminars, seminars, workshops, and we're blessed that you, every once in a while, will come on to people's radio shows like mine and give us an hour of your time because it's so critical to get the word out about stress in any way that we really can. Now you have, you're also an author, and your book's a bestseller, and it's called "Hearing His Whisper: A Journey Through Cancer and Divorce." Do you have other books? You also have the 99 Things You Wish You Knew Before Stressing Out. I love that. Which one's that? The second one's a little newer, right? That was just released.
Yes, actually,
or is it coming
that's
out?
My third one. I have an ebook out there. That's okay. It's called Mantras for the Mastectomies of Life, and it's dealing with deeper traumas in life or diseases that people are going through. 99 Things You Wish You Knew Before Stressing Out is actually a book that I keep by my bedside
so that
I can remember what came through me simply because it's quick touchstones in terms of mindset skills to be able to return to that place of inner peace. So,
now you and I haven't talked that much before. Do you have an element of humor with everything, or are you super serious? I need to know as far as kind of the show goes, because you're striking me as, you know, when I hear some of the titles of the books and things like that, you're striking me as approaching this with an element of comedy. So I'm wondering if we can sort of go there a little bit. Okay.
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of my favorite stress relievers is laughter. About it last night, that is one of my favorite experiences in life, is to laugh.
I, I think I am, you know, I call myself like the queen, the self-proclaimed ruler of typo land and the queen of typos. And I don't let things like, where a lot of people would get totally stressed out and freaked out, I'm like, meh, you know, hey, what are you going to do about it? I've gone on Fox with two different colored shoes on. Two totally different shoes.
The details sometimes slip by for the greater vision. That's what I always say.
Yeah. Oh, hilarious. I'm with you. Okay, so let me rattle off your websites really fast here because, I don't even have to do it really fast because I'm not in that stressed out zone, but there's laurenmiller.com. It's actually laurenemiller.com. Let me spell this for you. Because a lot of people listen to us on the internet and follow along the websites as we're talking. So it's laurenemiller.com. So there's laurenemiller.com. And then I love this one, stresssolutionsuniversity.com. That says it all right there. And then beforestressingout.com. And, you know, I love this. Les Brown says this book will literally save lives. Let's start there. How are you saving lives?
You know, it's interesting because I'm very curious. I've always been a very curious human being, so I have the latest studies always sent to me that are released from different areas, UCLA, all the studies on stress relief and their connection to our physiology. I'm one of my famous quotes that I'll often reference is the landmark study out of the University of London. That was a 20-year study that concluded that stress is more of a contributing factor to heart disease and cancer than cigarette smoking and high cholesterol foods. And this is a 20-year landmark study. You know, this is, most people will say, oh, you think? Because we experience small physiological emotional disruptions in our system on a daily basis, whether that's headaches or tension in the neck or backaches, leg pain. And so it's constantly showing up in our physiology. And I know just from my personal experience of going through two of the top stressors at the same time, the experience of cancer and divorce, there is a very, very strong link between the stress in our body and dis-ease. So when you release stress and you maintain and learn the mindset skills and the physiological techniques that you can do to maintain that space of inner healing and peace and remembrance of your God-given natural state of health and restoration, then the body follows suit. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And there's incredible studies out there that are showing this.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, a lot of people live their life saying, what, I'm not stressed out. No, I'm fine.
Oh, I know. In fact, after I speak, I'll have so many people that'll say that. Well, I'm not really a stressed out person. And then they go into all of the different things that they're dealing with in life, and I could see their body tension and their physiology just shifting before me. And so I said, you know, denial is a good thing for a while until you can't ignore it anymore.
So, makes you sick, yeah.
You know, I think it's really a semantical thing because people will refer to stress, and that evokes a certain image of what does stress mean. So if you dismantle that, and if you focus on perhaps, do you have any fear in your life? Do you have any doubt? Do you ever have any moments of self-doubt? Do you ever worry?
Never. Me, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
break it down to the elements, yeah. And then you're including all of mankind.
Oh yeah, exactly.
On a daily basis.
Let's get serious for a minute here, maybe two, three, four, or five even, and talk really about what is stress. Because, you know, I think about stress personally for a moment here, and I think about, okay, well, what stresses me out? Okay, the thought of moving stresses me out. The thought of my child the other night, Friday night, my 16-year-old getting into a car with four other teenage boys and driving 35 miles, that stressed me out. What is stress? And you know, it seems like just about anything could be stress, but what is stress?
You know, it's interesting just because I'm constantly listening to phrases, the choice of phrases and words that people use to describe their threatened perception of different situations mm-hmm. that unfold before them. And even as you were just describing to me in the last couple of sentences, you used the word the thought that this would happen, the thought that that would happen. Our stress originates in a thought. If you break down to the smallest elements of what results in stress or a disruption in our body's energy system, the Latin word for emotion is disruption. So you get this thought, and the thought is neither good or bad, and it doesn't create a threat unless you label it. If you label it as a possible threat, then that gives birth to the emovera, which is the disruption in your body's energy system. And that causes the end result, which people label as stress or anxiety or worry or doubt or fear. Your greatest strength is to be the gatekeeper of your thoughts. As a thought comes up, you'll usually link it to something in your past or anticipation, something in your future, an expectation or an assumption. That if a bunch of teenagers get in a car and are driving 35 miles an hour, the chances are something happening is great because I've heard this before. Whatever you're pulling from, the information, know that you're referencing the past or the future. But simply put, stress is a signal. It's just a signal within your body giving you the opportunity to identify and adjust your perception of any situation. And then going back to the building blocks of the actual end result of the disruption in your emotional state and your sense of well-being, it starts with labeling a thought as a threat. That's the simplest form. And if you realize that as the thoughts arise in your day and you maintain that gap of empowerment before responding and being a reactive human being versus the observer of the thought, here's the thought. The thought is an observation. My son is driving 35 miles tonight. All right. How are you going to label that? Well, I chose to label it as a threat because something might happen. So that's something, then you jump into the future. It's a motion of life that hasn't even occurred yet. You're here now. And many of the spiritual teachers, and I've been studying the lives of the spiritual teachers and mystics and people in humanity that have been able to master inner peace amongst the most external compromising situations. And one of the common threads is this focus of being the gatekeeper of your thoughts. Because as soon as you label it as a threat, the body's going to follow suit. So to truly just to step into that, again, that place where you used to be. And that's one of my favorite courses that I took as I studied psychology was child development. Because 0 to 5 years old, they're in that state of acute presence of life. It's very concrete. Everything there's no abstract, it's just this is life experience now. This is a shell that I'm looking at right now. Look at the ridges on the shell. Look how it's smooth on the inside, how it's rough on the outside. They're acutely present to the life in front of their face. And in that space, they lack nothing. That's why they're relentless in terms of their lack of fear of going into any situation. And they don't have the residue that we often walk away from with encounters with other human beings. Because they don't have any expectations or needs for approval at that time. They learn that. So they're just simply being in that spacious place of love and acceptance of self and feeling safe in that area.
You know, I have so many questions that tie into stress, and I'm trying to think of which logical way to ask them to you. So if they come out of order, what I'm trying to do with this show, if it makes sense, is try and tie it into how stress makes us sick.
Sure.
So that that's the underlying theme. I think that people probably need to know if they don't know that already. That tons of stress. I mean, it even produces things like cortisol in women and probably men too. I don't know if that's a woman hormone or a man hormone, but belly fat on a woman can be a sign of stress.
Absolutely. And it's men and women. The cortisol level, it's a stress hormone. It goes up in the body. The other thing is, as we were mentioning, laughter, that it boosts the immune system, decreases the cortisol levels, decreases blood pressure, and creates T cells, the infection-fighting cells within the body. Laughter does. Well, what are some key components of laughter? One of the main fuels behind the engine of laughter is presence. If you notice, when you are laughing at something, you are completely present to something that triggers this burst of joy inside, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The most amazing comics out there have the ability to tune into those things that people don't say but think. And so that's why people start laughing when they call them out on it. You know, but it's producing the most wonderful environment for healing. In fact, the scientific world is actually considering laughter as a possible cure for cancer, asthma, and depression. And that seems like, even as I say those words, it seems like I'm stating the obvious, because I am. It's a very simple thing, and the wonderful thing about laughter also, in terms of creating the environment for healing within the body, is that it even works. The studies show that it even releases those infection-fighting cells, T cells within the body. It decreases the cortisol levels. You get all of the physiological benefits of laughter, even if it's fake. There's that movement that came out of India, the laughter yoga movement out of India, that is actually making its way into major corporations these days. Just empowering the employees with the ability to laugh, even if it's fake, even if it's ha ha he he ho ho hoo he, and going through that motion, which ends up usually cracking yourself up anyway.
You the funniest thing I've ever sat in so far was a chanting yoga class. I just died laughing. You know, as you're learning, new things, you know, you're trying to figure out, do I belong in this class or that class or whatever, you know. I sat in this class, and I was like, okay, yoga, you know, and then I have no idea what she was singing, but it made me get the biggest case of the giggles ever kind of thing. And, you know, she's like, it's okay, you know, if it's funny to you or whatever, it's okay. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm trying not to offend you or anything, but something's funny. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah, and it's like laughing in the library when you're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
To.
You get going. You know, in fact, laughter, let's talk about laughter a little bit more here, because laughter happens sometimes when things aren't even supposed to be funny. Sometimes people laugh at funerals. Sometimes people laugh in the ICU unit. I know my mom and I, with my dad in ICU for 45 days this past year, we had to find moments there were just some things that were funny. I mean, my dad on drugs, he had some really funny things to say every once in a while, you know.
Yeah,
and some of the oddest moments of de-stress come with humor in the strangest moments.
It does, and laughter flows from the soul, it unleashes phenomenal healing powers within the body. I mean, it's truly, if the people listening to this show take one thing away and start to infuse it in their day, 1 to 3 times a day, may it be laughter. Because the studies that are linking it to creating that sense of healing within the body, and there's a few elements that simply going through the experience of stage 3 cancer myself, I just
it's not funny, is it?
Exactly. Going through that, you know. But I have to tell you though, that's one of my prayers every day. Dear God, grant me a spirit of joy and laughter. I didn't even, this was even before I really got into dismantling the physiology behind laughter and what I was creating within my body. However, I knew it felt good. Just like when people are in that place of victimization, I'll often say to some of my clients, when you're done rolling on the floor, let me know. Because when you're done, you'll be done. But you are the gatekeeper of that decision. When are you
I
done?
Love this. I love you're what you're done. Saying, the gatekeeper of you're kind of the gatekeeper of you. You decide whether you're going to get stressed out.
That's
you decide
exactly
whether you're going to laugh or whatever. I've said for a long time you're the CEO of your own life, but the gatekeeper of your thoughts is a cool
truly,
thing.
Truly, that's the place to hang out, because it's a place of empowerment. And then you know, the studies that are out there, and Dr. Bruce Lipton's work in epigenetics is absolutely life transforming down to the cellular level. And I've been a student of his for quite some time, and been applying the theory, basically fueled by Einstein's thought that the field directly affects the particle. What you think, or you know, by your thoughts you form your life. That's one of my statements that I'll have. By your thoughts you form your choices, by your choices you form your life. So choose wisely. Go back to the beginning element of the thought. of what you focus on, because it grows bigger very quickly. You actually have the reticular activating system, which is located by the brainstem, in your body, and its sole purpose is behavior motivation, or basically, it tunes into whatever you're focusing on. That's why when you're looking for a new car, you see it everywhere, new shoes, whatever it is that you're focusing on, you will tune into it. Your body will start, your vision, you will start tuning into those elements that you're focusing on. So the most wonderful awareness that comes along with that is, oh my goodness, whatever I focus on grows bigger. That means that I can choose my focus, and when I choose my focus, I'm going to start to see that manifest within my life. This is a God-given gift that, that many of us don't even know we have.
That is the coolest phenomenon. When you really listen, folks, to what Lauren's saying right there, again, you know, we can repeat it, and I'll repeat it, and you can repeat it, but what she's talking about is really focusing in on what you want. For example, if I'll give an example. The past few years, I've really started to say, I want to have Best Ever You be a national TV show. That is something I want to see happen. And when I started focusing my energy on that and off other things, very interesting things happen. And people, it's just, you're so right. It can be as simple as buying a car, tuning into kids' things. Like when you notice how when you have young kids, for example, you're tuned into Barney. You know, like right now, my kids are a little bit older, but I'm not watching Barney anymore, you know, or Barney or the Teletubbies or whatever. It's very interesting how your wavelength goes with what you're interested in.
That's exactly what it is. And your energy system, just studying the energy system, when you're in your thoughts, when you're actually thinking in your thoughts, it is so limited. The energy of the mind only goes out 2 inches. When they study the energy, when they've been able to actually capture the energy of the human body through the waves, through the heat, the flow of the energy, it actually goes out 10 feet, 360 degrees around each human being and beyond.
Wow.
So, and that's dropping into your heart. Well, people will say, my heart, my gut. What is that? That is basically living outside the thought life. And many people have referred to this as different forms of time. Eckhart Tolle has a phenomenal description of this when he speaks about clock time and physiological time. Right? I mean, psychological time and clock time. Clock time is what we have to do as human beings. I have a calendar. You have a calendar. We have this date on our calendar. That's why we're talking right now. That's clock time. So we show up. The problem comes is when we get lost in the psychological time. The psychological time is the thought time that we feel that we farm out our sense of identity to. Moments in the past, moments in the future. We farm out our sense of identity to things that happened in the past or anticipations or worries or assumptions or expectations in the future, and therefore we miss out on the present moment, which occurs in the heart. That's heart-based living. You laugh when you're in your heart. You don't laugh when you're thinking. You laugh when you're experiencing life. You don't laugh when you're defining life, when you're analyzing, interpreting, concluding. That's not where laughter erupts. Laughter erupts when you give yourself that little gap, that little window of experience. I'm experiencing this moment. And then you laugh. And then it becomes actually very humorous when you allow yourself to go into that space. And then of course, you boost your immune system and raise the level of those infection-fighting T cells. And there's actually proteins called gamma interferon and B cells, which produce disease-destroying antibodies. Lower your blood pressure, you reduce stress hormones, all of these physiological things that you can simply do by being the gatekeeper of your thoughts and remaining present to the moment. Get out of the psychological time, because that's where we lose ourselves. We lose ourselves. I have so many clients that will sit in front of me, or I'll be Skyping, and I can see the deer in the headlights as they describe the situation that they farmed out their sense of identity to. And as soon as they return to their heart-based experience of life, they remember their God-given natural state to overcome, to move through, to be at that place of inner peace no matter what surrounds you, to remember that you're safe. I was actually graced with two out-of-body experiences throughout the 2 years of treatment with the cancer. One of the side effects of the chemo was a heart attack. Well, my heart attacked at one particular point, and I dropped. And I remember I was bald and breastless at the time, so physiologically speaking, I was probably at my weakest moment in that area.
And then a heart attack on top of it, huh? Here, have a little more, right?
Yeah, here's another opportunity. But, you know, but it's all your perception. From my perception, with the work that I feel called to do in this world, it was part of my training so that I could look in the eyes of humanity and say, don't forget this.
I was hoping you say that because I was trying to give a little bit of what a lot of people think, like pile a little more crap on me, would you? But
sure.
If you don't think about it like pile a little bit more on me, but you think about it in terms of the way you just thought, there's two very different lines of thinking and two very different outcomes as a result.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. Your choice of perception is directly linked to the outcome you will experience. And it's your choice. That's why I will call my clients out and say, you really want that?
Yeah.
How's that feel? How's that working for you? But until you see it face on, face to face, then you forget the power that you have to remember your God-given natural state of being, which is never in a place of lack and scarcity. Never.
Yeah.
Never, never, never.
As we have a half an hour left of the show, I'm going to please have you promise me that you'll come on again because we are so going to run out of time because I've got 150 things here to talk to you about, and we're going to need way more shows. But as we're sitting here talking, one of the things I cut out of Fortune magazine of the February 27th issue was this article called Rethinking the War on Cancer, and I'm not having expected you to have read it or anything like that, and I didn't send it to you ahead of the call or anything, but Dr. David Agus, I hope I said his name right, A-G-U-S, he wrote a book called The End of Illness, and he's a prominent cancer researcher, and he was giving a keynote express, and he talks in his book and in his speeches about the need to take a new approach to treating cancer and focusing on the health before we get to that point. And,
I agree.
And it's basically, about why we're losing, there's things like why we're losing the war on cancer by Cliff Leaf, and he's a cancer survivor himself, and but it's keeping the soil healthy so the bad seeds don't grow. And we're talking about stress, and stress is a real bad seed to plant in your body. And we talked about those hormones like cortisol and how it affects everything. But one of the ways that stress really does a number on the system is through inflammation. And I was wondering if you would talk about inflammation a little bit, because inflammation and sugar, like I've been on a 45-day detox from sugar, and my body, my joints, everything on me feels so non-inflamed, But I'm wondering if you could go with inflammation for a little bit and explain how it relates to stress and hormones and cancer and everything.
Well, it's interesting because there's three main elements for healing, and I found this in study after study after study. One of them is decreasing inflammation. The other one is oxygenating the cells and increasing the immune system, boosting the immune system. And then when you've been able to accomplish all three of those, that creates your natural state of healing. As we've all witnessed the first time we skinned our knee, lo and behold, 4 days later, our body healed without us being consciously aware of it. So our natural state is healing. The issues start to appear, and the opportunities to remember our natural state of healing occur when we forget what is beneficial to the earth suit. And sugar is one of the deadly poisons. And if people could understand that, and dairy, milk, if people could understand what goes on inside the body, the lack of enzymes, the lack of the ability to digest even carbs, even white flour, and what it does, it actually creates a toxic environment within the body. When the body, as with allergies, when the body sees anything as a threat that is not natural and is not assisting the cellular growth and function at the cellular level, the body sees it as a threat, and as we see on Animal Planet, like with the puffer fish, poof, it swells up. So people encounter many different allergies as a result of that. Well, internally, you can look at it the same way. It's allergies. What happens with allergies? There's swelling. There's inflammation. Why? Because the body is under attack. The body is threatened. That's why many of my clients that are seeking to return to their best weight of being, as they go through the 3-week sugar fast, they'll mm-hmm. first experience resistance because sugar is an addictive element.
It's like crack.
So,
sugar is like
a
drug.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is like crack. And so they experience the mood swings, all of that. And so
sweating and shaking coming off of sugar.
So,
seriously,
well,
I'm not kidding.
Well, I know. And so we'll do some adjustments along the way during those 3 weeks. However, once you reach that mark, all of a sudden, boom, your body starts to return to its natural state of health in terms of not being addicted to anything, but having everything it needs within when you're feeding it those things that are expanding its growth in a constructive way. Your body returns to that natural state and no longer is in a swollen or inflamed state of being. What happens is the circulation, everything that involved with the inflammation makes your system sluggish. That's simply put. It just causes your system to slow down. And as a result of that, you get the mood swings. You get the rising and falling emotionally as well as with your energy levels. You get the dip mid-afternoon when you're not balancing the right intake. For example, serotonin levels, tryptophan is an amino acid that feeds the serotonin. One of the quickest ways to get tryptophan within our body is through carbohydrates and sugar. You get a hit. Well, of course, your serotonin levels go up, and you feel good. All of a sudden, you feel great. But then there's the crash within the body. And then you get the crash. People are like, I got to have a Twinkie, you know. and so it is an addiction. And then they get their momentary hit, and then they get the crash afterwards and creating inflammation within the body. It creates inflammation throughout the entire system. People don't realize that there are healthy choices to get the tryptophan going within the body, from everything from wheat germ to chickpeas to turkey. And once you rid yourself of the addiction of sugar and you can start to weave in those healthy choices, your body actually will start to experience a rejection of sweets. You'll even be able to see ice cream in those things, which ice cream, by the way, is probably one of the worst things we can put in our body.
That's what I was addicted to. I mean, I really was having the biggest bowl of chocolate ice cream every night before I go to bed as my, like, yummy food, you know, kind of thing. Like, it's not doing anything to me. I have lost almost 14 pounds now by just, you know, people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's really not that complicated, just really not eating that, you know, kind of thing. You know, it's like, everybody's like, what diet? What are you following? What are you doing? I'm like, there's no profound book that's coming out on this because it's going to be like a page, like, I stopped eating ice cream, you know, or whatever. It's really funny.
I often say that when I see these extensive weight loss programs.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it's actually really simple. Again, it goes back to being the gatekeeper of your thoughts, because much of this is emotional eating. And once you realize what feeds your health, you make those conscious choices thought by thought, you know, and then you start making the shift. It's really not that difficult if you're conscious.
Yeah.
It's your unconscious behavior that causes you to get in trouble, because it's based in old patterns of behavior that don't serve your well-being.
Yeah. So if you're let's say we make this change and we're living this healthy life and we think we're doing pretty good and our stress is lowering and, you know, everything's, you know, peaceful and whatever, and bam, we lose our job. Stress. Or a pet dies, or, you know, I call them landmines, you know, those little unpredictable things that you never can see coming your way, that you react to, you get stressed out about, or whatever. Is that a different kind of stress than my son's getting in that car and I don't know what'll happen?
In terms of a physical stressor?
Anything.
Can you word that again?
Well, what I'm wondering is, you know, the stress of, let's say somebody can't pay their bills or they lose their job, or, you know, there's stress that gets caused from, you know, a toilet leaking or a flat tire, you know, the things that you can't see coming. Is that a different kind of stress than, for example, somebody afraid of getting on an airplane because of it might crash, or somebody afraid to get in a car because it might crash, or afraid to, you know, whatever. Is that type of stress different, or is stress just one big thing called stress?
Well, I think we've kind of lumped it all together. It's basically the fight, flight, or freeze mode that happens mm-hmm. when you see something when something unfolds before you that you label as a threat to your sense of well-being, a threat to convenience, a threat to whatever it is, a threat to your health, a threat to relationships. Really, it comes down to three main fuels to the experience of feeling threatened, which results in fear, doubt, or worry, and that is, am I okay? Am I going to be able to handle this, and will I die? And many times when I speak of the death, yes, I experienced two, my heart stopped. I experienced two out-of-body experiences when I had the MRSA staph infection as well. I was able to experience the remembrance that, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. Yeah. I'm okay all the time. As my son said when I lost my hair, Mom, don't cry. Your soul still has hair. You're always okay. That's your God-given natural state, and I can assure you of that, being graced with the opportunity to stand outside my body as they tried to revive it. Because
yeah,
one
I've
of the
been,
things I...
I've been revived, oh, too. Do you know that?
Excuse me, what?
I've been resuscitated as well. Did you know that? I didn't
no,
know if
I
you
didn't.
Knew that or not. Yeah, I have.
Oh,
I've been... I'm anaphylactically allergic. I have anaphylaxis to food.
Okay.
I really do have some nasty food allergies that even the best, I don't know what would ever cure them, but I'm absolutely
sure.
life-threatening allergic to nuts, peanuts, shellfish, and,
wow.
you know, that type of thing. And I've been resuscitated from food allergies, so I completely get, it's very hard to explain, but I completely get you totally.
Yeah,
you're saying.
You remember, it's almost
changes.
like a sense of embarrassment almost when I drop back into the earth suit. One, I realized how heavy this earth suit is because you're so expansive in the soul, in the spiritual world. But really, more importantly, the lesson being that there's no need to fear, doubt, or worry.
Yeah.
That's simply the antics of the mind when you think you're unsafe or not capable of handling a situation or that you might die. And I wanted to add many times, you know, it's the death of your sense of self that you farmed out to the world. What if people don't like me? What if I'm not accepted? What if I'm not approved of? What if they don't acknowledge me? What if I'm not seen? What if I'm not validated? Well, these are all things that you already have. You don't need to ask the world to tell you you're enough or that you're loved. You are enough and you are loved. You forget that, and it's in that amnesia, that place of amnesia, that the serpent of worry, doubt, and fear start to take a grip. And then you forget. You fall asleep. You become unconscious. And as you remember, as you wake up, it's the most wonderful experience to witness a human being waking up from that slumber. And then they remember, oh, my gosh, I am okay, with or without this, with or without that. I'm always okay. That's your natural state.
Yeah. Now, one of my favorite people in the world has come to be this gentleman by the name of Gary Kobat. And he's an integrative coach, and he's out there in Los Angeles, and he deals a lot with people like Will Ferrell and Jim Carrey and coaches them and helps them learn to run marathons. And he's got a little article out that I thought would be right up your alley. He was featured on accesshollywood.com when it was this, I think this was March 7th, so yesterday. And he talks, you know, life coach Gary Kobat, he's worked with celebs like Kate Winslet and Mariska Hargitay, and he believes women are more susceptible to stress or adrenal fatigue, which is the feeling of fatigue, fuzziness, mood swings, and cravings, and even for cravings for self-destructive substances. He says the term is used to describe a set of symptoms related to the way the body is managing stress. Stress is any type of physical, mental, or emotional pressure. And stress, as we all know, can sabotage our sense of well-being. He continues to say, if people live in a state of high stress, it'll take more time to discover, process, and integrate information, which compromises reaction time, communication, and overall performance. And isn't it interesting? And he's got this little formula for de-stress, and I wondered if you could comment on it. So we're going to comment on the comment on the comments.
Sure, wonderful.
He says, okay, it's de-stress. This is his healthy formula for de-stressing. D is to define who and what's most important in your life. Mm-hmm. Should I read them all off and, go, and we'll come back to
sure.
them?
Sure.
A is for energize with good fuels and exercise easy. S is support and supplementation. T is take time for yourself. R is release the past. I love this one. Release the past and reframe the future.
Mm-hmm.
E is eliminate energy drains and establish boundaries. Oh, there's your boundary, your gatekeeper thing. S is sleep, silence, and soulful peacefulness. And here's my favorite one, and yours too, I'm going to guess, is S is smile and laugh.
Oh, love it. Love
Isn't
it.
Isn't
it clever? I'm really, as a journalist, I love the when you can say whatever you want to say in the least amount of words, and when you take
mm-hmm.
words like stress and break it down to the different elements like that, I always appreciate that. I think that's wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
I, you know, it's interesting, as you were reading them off, in my book, 99 Things, I have each one of those in there.
Oh, I know you do, yeah.
Different chapters, because, you know, truth appears again and again to humanity, and it comes to those who are seeking it, and it's available to everybody. And when you're seeking the truth, your body knows how to return to its natural state. It's always in its natural state of peace and confidence. And we're created to inspire. It's always in that place. It's just when we forget that, like the first one when you said, basically, I refer to it as aligning yourself with what you value most in life.
Mm-hmm.
When you align yourself with what you value most in life, that leads to accuracy of thinking. That leads to clarity of thinking, which leads to accuracy of response. When you are clear in your thinking and what you value most in life, in fact, I'll often ask my clients to make a list of 10 things that they value most in life, those things that they would imagine they would value at the end of this life as well, and to write those 10 things down and have those in a place as a visual touchstone throughout the day. And one of the things that I value in life is people before things. Now, being a driven human being, sometimes unbridled ambition causes amnesia, and I forget that. Somebody
yeah.
will call and I'll say, oh, I just have to finish this project. And with that said, it's still what I value most in life. So I will return to that value as quickly as possible. And so that the first one, when you read that one off, I thought, wow, that's a huge one if the listeners out there today can take that with them and to make a list of those things that they value most, 10 things, and then to have that close by to reference as you go through the day, because then at night you sleep well because you are congruent. You are lining yourself up.
People, I notice when you say that to me, you know, make a list of what's valuable, you know, to you and your life and so forth. Is there a right or a wrong there? Sometimes people are afraid to just go rattling off what they think, you know, what their values are in fear, perhaps, of somebody maybe laughing at it or saying, that's what you value, you know, that kind of thing. And it stops people from doing exercises like that. Is there a right or wrong there?
There's no judgment. I mean, that judgment comes in the mind. When you mm-hmm. when you judge, you judge something as good or bad. So to do this exercise, just to step aside, this list is for you. This is for your inner growth and expansion. This is to align yourself. What do you value? There's no judgment in that, but what's most important to you in life? And it'll shift because we're flowing. We're flowing. We're meant to stay in the flow. When we stop the flow, we become stagnant, and then we become stuck. And so to stay
yeah.
in that flow and to realize that this is a list that is evolving as you are every day. And so to give yourself that space without judgment, hey, what do I value? Because what you value this week might shift. And with that said, it is of great value to simply do the practice, in that it will bring out to the light or bring into the light those things that are going on beneath the surface that are motivating you to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you have those things out, and you see them, like you said, like you described in the beginning of this interview, that you're focusing on getting this as a national show, which I think is an excellent idea because it's much needed. So even the fact that you are tuning into that, and that's your focus, you're going to be able to pick up on things, energetically speaking, and doors are going to be open to make that happen because that's your choice of focus.
Energy,
well, if,
yeah.
if I were to sit down with you and ask you, well, what are the values behind that are fueling your desire to even have this show, you'd be able to rattle off 10 things,
oh, yeah.
I'm sure, you know, easily. And those things are aligned with what you value most. So it's good to have that as a touchstone, knowing that fuels your God-given natural state to create in order to inspire. That's what we're here for, to create in order to inspire.
Yeah.
And so when it's just kind of being able to get out on the table. That's why that exercise in that article you just read is so valuable. I encourage everybody to Google that article and really take a look at those elements that were laid out, because it's truly an invitation back to yourself, which when you're congruent in that way, to manifest those things that you're called to manifest in this world, everybody's on a mission. Whether
yeah.
or not they realize it or not.
Whether or not you know it or not, you are, yeah.
You are on a mission.
You're on a mission. How do people, it's really funny, you're on a mission. How do you, if people want to connect with you, how do people get a hold of you on Twitter? What's your Twitter name?
My Twitter handle is Lauren E. Miller 7.
Okay. So I just want to make sure people know that if you want to, we love Twitter. So and are you there on Facebook as well?
I am on Facebook as well. It's Stress Relief University.
Okay, good. So you can return social media that way. I'm sure there's other ways too, like LinkedIn and whatever.
And on my website, they have the different links as well. LaurenEMiller.com. They'll have the little Facebook, YouTube. I have a YouTube channel as well with some videos on some different techniques as well. So it's all up there. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. Well, that way people can get with you because, you know, people, once they hear those words, you are on a mission, I would imagine the next thing that they're going to need to do is find you to
sure.
learn how to
Absolutely.
Go on it and
do it
stress-free. Now, I was thinking just a little bit more about this whole stress thing and values and so forth. And I was wondering to sort of get people to start thinking, because you might say, what are your core values? And people might come up blank. They really might just come up like, I don't know what you're talking about. Are you talking about that I love my dog, or that I have a home? Or when you're saying, what are your values, can you just maybe give five examples of what people might say there, or something that you've heard? What do you value?
Well,
if you can share it, I don't know.
Sure. One of my top values is I value my relationship with God. I value that connection. I value that surrendering experience, surrendering all to God, and then being present to the mission for which my heart beats. One of the values that I have that kind of expands on that is a simple prayer that I have under that value, which is, Dear God, protect me from compliments and complaints that I may stay grounded in the mission for which my heart beats. Because then I won't be distracted and rise and fall depending on how the world judges me. Then I will be protected from the drug.
I think your phone cut out. I'm not sure. That happens on radio. Just call back in. Your phone is definitely out. That's funny. Okay, we're with Lauren Miller, but she's probably going to have to call back in. Lauren, just call back in to 714-868-0220, and we'll put you live back on. But we were speaking. We love that when the calls drop, because it's a cell phone problem, and it's no big whoop. But we're speaking with Lauren Miller, and Lauren is a stress relief expert, and she's just a wonderful wealth of information here. Let me bring her back on the line. That happens on live radio. Don't worry about it. But we do reserve the right to make a lot of fun of you when that happens.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Oh,
but
maybe
I'm just out for a little bit. But let me finish. No, it's okay. You know what? I have had, I had Ed Asner on the show, and his doorbell rang in the middle of the show, and he answered the door. So we've been through it all. It's absolutely, it's live radio. It's okay. We get it.
Life
we're taking an hour. Yeah, we're taking an hour out of your life here to communicate about stress, and something's got to be funny. We broke it. We almost did that on purpose. But I do want to mention your websites a little bit more here before we go.
Sure.
And that's LaurenEMiller.com, LaurenEMiller.com. And then also StressSolutionsUniversity.com and BeforeStressingOut.com. But we were talking about values, and I noticed one of the things that you just did there was you, it was like your values had values, and they had values too. So when you say what are your values, it really does seem to me like it's a little bit more profound of an answer than just, I value having this house, or I value my parents, or I value my health, or something like that. It seems like there's a little bit more to it. I was wondering if you could maybe teach us how to do what you just did. Like, it's almost like a value statement.
Sure. Once you state, and I encourage you to do this without the stress. So just ask yourself, what do I value? And many times, I'll encounter human beings that'll get the blank stare. I don't know what I value. So then I'll give them an exercise for a week. I'll ask them to go through their life with a little pad and a pen, and to pause when something catches their attention. And it's something that they don't need to. It's a soul feeling versus a mind feeling, meaning that you have no need to own control and possess it. It's like the experience of a sunset, or pausing and lingering and watching a child laugh. There's no need to become involved in owning, controlling, or possessing that experience. You're simply experiencing life, and it catches your attention. It catches your attention because there's something in what you're observing that you value. So that's how you first start to tune into what you value most in life. Start again to become, stay in that place of the observer of your life versus the reactor, and say, that felt good. You're walking away from this connection, from this experience. That felt good to me. And then to become curious, resurrect that curious and fascinated spirit that you had when you were 0 to 5 years old. I'm curious about that because I can't stop thinking about that encounter I had today. Well, then ask yourself another question. What is it behind that encounter that is lingering with me? Why is that lingering with me? That felt so good. Why did that feel so good? Well, it felt so good because it reminded me of something that I forgot that I was capable of. Whatever it is, I was capable of good communication, and I forgot that I was. I was capable of setting a good boundary, and I forgot that I was. So something that I value is setting healthy boundaries. Something that I value is speaking my truth without fear of response. So you start to become in that place of curiosity and fascination. It's amazing how you dismantle down to the atom of what moves you as a human being in this world. And that's all linked to your mission. So when you just become curious and write those things down, then you can start, as I did, as I value my relationship with God first and foremost, my spiritual connection with God more than anything. Everything flows from that. And then my remembrances of what I value flow from that as well. And the way to step into that experience is to take one experience at a time and see what causes you to linger and have that soul feeling versus the fleshly feelings that rise and fall depending on how the world judges you.
Right.
The soul feelings are wonderful because they are always linked to what we value most in life.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you do that. This has to do with pageants, and I don't know. I'm going to bring this up anyway because why it has to do with pageants is because it has to do with somebody else approving of you or putting a crown upon your head or a band, to say, hey, you're magically approved of just because or whatever.
Exactly.
It was interesting. I've led a life off and on where I've done pageants, and it wasn't until really about 2 years ago that I really was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. And, and this is relevant, so hang on, just let me tell the story for a second so it ties
sure.
in. Because I did this pageant called the Mrs. International Pageant, and I decided to go there as me. I was not going to put fake eyelashes on. I wasn't going to put fake hair on. I wasn't going to lose any weight. I was just going to strictly be me, and it was going to be what was up in my closet, and I was going to go. And people had spent thousands of dollars on everything, kind of thing. And
of course.
It was the first time in my life where I did not go to something like that, or it could be as simple as running a race for a ribbon or anything like that, just something competitive or whatever you want it to be. But it was the first time in my life where I could have cared less what the outcome was. I went
free.
There. I totally was. It was the coolest experience because everybody else, I really mean almost everybody else, was fretting. They couldn't remember the song. They couldn't dance it. You know, just crazy stress going on. Just sitting there going, you know, I'm just here to meet you. I just wanted to meet all you guys because I went there with the genuine love of, I could have cared less who was Mrs. What or what, but what I loved about all of the people there were that each one of these women that were present in Chicago had a platform on which they had to, they didn't have to, that they were speaking on. So somebody could talk about children's cancer, or someone could talk about the diabetes, or I talked about food allergies. You know, you picked what you were going to talk about, and I went there for the love of meeting everybody and hearing their message.
Wow, what a wonderful space to be.
It was so different. But my point is when you clear, I call it clutter or thinking, or you purge, or I don't know what, but I completely just removed the entire element of stress from that experience. In fact, there were people with like 7-inch heels on. I swear to God, they were the highest things I've ever seen in my life, and I was in slippers.
I love it. I love it. That's wonderful. That is such a great. Thank you for sharing that, because that is a perfect example of what we're talking about here.
And I don't mean I'm some great thing because of it or anything like that. I'm just trying to share the experience of,
absolutely.
You know, it's all, you know, if you have an experience, you might very well just take a different stance on it to go through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it's your choice of perception. You went into
you're
that
the
experience without the attachment of needing the approval of those around you. And once you're in that place, and I remember experiencing this when I first stepped out of my house bald, in our 30s.
It's anything,
The freedom to say, I am willing to love and accept myself no matter what. No matter how they respond, no matter whether I get the award or not the award. One of the exercises that's helpful to release attachment is to using different energy points in the body is to say, I am willing to remember I'm okay with or without this. Mm. I'm okay with or without this interview. I'm okay with or without this book getting connected with this publisher. I'm okay with or without this relationship, you know, this person responding in the relationship the way I want them to. I'm still okay.
You're still
because
okay.
Because then you're free from the judgments. You're free from the judgments, and you're free from defining life, and then your world is absolutely blown open.
That's kind of what happened when I learned that. I don't know exactly what it was it might have been somebody who touched my life through Best Ever You, because far beyond doing that pageant, I was doing Best Ever You for a couple of years before that. And, you know, I've just learned so much from the different people that I encounter on the radio show and the magazine and the website and stuff like that. I mean, you can't help but learn when you get somebody like you on this show. The wealth of information that comes at you is just incredible when you spend an hour with somebody like you. So, but that totally changed my world to the point where it allowed me to, for once in my life, lose weight on my own, regardless of what anybody thought of me.
That's wonderful.
It's so bizarre to be like, you know what?
When you say that, I get goosebumps. Because you're remembering you.
Yeah.
You're remembering. You're,
I'm like, I matter. I matter. I don't, you know,
yes,
I
exactly.
matter. I matter. If my jeans upstairs don't fit in my closet, it's my responsibility to decide whether I want them to or not. You know, kind of thing.
Right. That's exactly it. Once you're aligned with your decision, then you'll be able to move with ease to the place of your desired destination. But it's a journey without the resistance of what is, because you're
it's
accepting
so
and loving yourself now, and this is where you want to go.
Yeah.
This is where you want to go. You want to go. Not because anybody's telling
you.
There.
Yeah. So I can't wait to have you on the show more, because we have 60 seconds left and we're totally out of time. So please come back again. And thank you
so much
for being here today. And thank you, Pina, for connecting us, because it's magical when people get together.
And she's
magical. So, all right, we're ending on her note. We love her. GraceAndPassion.com is Pina's website. But Lauren Miller, thank you so much for being with us. And please visit Lauren's websites at laurenemiller.com, stresssolutionsuniversity.com, or beforestressingout.com. You can also find her on Facebook, and you can find her on Twitter. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining us every day today and every day that you do. And we will see you back here, boy, next. I don't know if we're going to do a show on Tuesday, but we'll see everybody next Thursday with Natalie Pace. Thank you again.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.